Welcome to worship, everyone. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And a few words of orientation before we begin worship. First of all, we'll be using the red hymnal and a half sheet of paper with an order of service on it. If you didn't get either of those, they're available by the burning candle near the entrance there. And if you just look at the order of service, on the right-hand column, you'll see that song numbers are indicated. Song numbers are the hymns in the back half of the hymnal, the large numbers on the top of the page. And then toward the bottom of the page, you can see there it says page numbers indicated. And the page numbers refer to the front of the hymnal, the small numbers on the bottom of the page in the front of the hymnal. This is a communion service, and the first and most important thing to know about our communion practice is that all are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we have three stations for communing, one in front of the table and one on either side. You will receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those, and the first chalice, or the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you have gluten allergies, please simply indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread, and we'll make a gluten-free host available to you. If you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward and receive a blessing, and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate when you come forward. And in the back of our hymnal, you'll be pleased to know that there is Luther's small catechism to be found. If you'd like to read more about the theology of Holy Communion in the Lutheran tradition, and that's found on page 1166, if anyone cares to look at that. There will be an offering given, an opportunity to give an offering during the service. And our offerings are being given to the Lutheran World Federation in their famine relief efforts in the Horn of Africa. 100% of our offerings are given away. And finally, a word of note about the stole I am wearing. The stole was part of a communal process at the Holden 50th anniversary celebrations that were held both last fall and this spring. This was created for Holden, and many, many hands have worked on this. I've had people come up and point out to me the exact colors that they did. So this is a physical reminder of the community of Holden far and wide and the 50th anniversary that we celebrate this year. Our service will begin with our intro. You may remain seated during this arrangement of Psalm 23.
She won't forsake me. I'm in. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will live in her house forever, forever and ever. Glory be to our mother and daughter and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the creator of wind and rain, mountain and river, including these waters of our own Railroad Creek watershed, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world. Blessed be you into which we are baptized into Christ. Amen. Before God and in the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sin. God of all,
we confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have been judgmental toward others to avoid looking at ourselves. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways we wish we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us and heal us for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away, and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading tonight comes from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, who shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from, this time we'll do the psalm.
Our psalm this evening is Psalm 23. The response that we'll all sing together is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And then I'll sing the verses. I'll sing the refrain once for you, and then we'll sing it all together, and then we'll continue with the verses.
second reading. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, whose men were called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, the physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Christ is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So Christ came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you, who are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
According to Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When Jesus and the disciples had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Loving God, be with us this night. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, a rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Old Fort Townsend State Park. Just south of Port Townsend, Washington, on the Olympic Peninsula on Puget Sound, is an interesting place to read Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I sat there on the beach on Thursday and read this ancient letter about the transformation of life and the world through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Just across the water on Whidbey Island, at a place designated on the map simply as a restricted area, a nuclear submarine, likely carrying nuclear warheads, was docked. A warship of some sort waited nearby as a guard and escort. And way beyond, on the horizon, Mount Baker seemed to hover magically in the air, above a slightly brownish layer of cloud, a hint of smog from suburban Seattle. It was a beautiful day, and the tide was way out, so we dug clams, which we discovered a little later that we could not eat because of dangerous bacteria in the water. The letter to the Ephesians is about the implications of resurrection faith for people living deep in the Roman Empire. As we ate our lunch with the nuclear sub across the water and our poisoned shellfish in a bucket to be returned to the water, it seemed to me that Ephesians was written as much for today as for then. There's a wonderful poem by Wendell Berry that I have memorized more or less by accident over the years, simply by reading it so many times. You may have heard it before. It's called The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. The poem is about maintaining faith and hope in an industrialized and militarized world. And it ends like this. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Be like the fox who leaves a false trail the way he did not go, making more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. I've never been able to let go of that last line. Practice resurrection. What does it mean to practice resurrection? By the time he delivers that last line of his poem, you realize that whatever resurrection means for Barry, and it means many things, I think, it means rising up again and again and again in hope, and in love, and in healing. This letter to the Ephesians that I sat there reading on Thursday is about what it means to practice resurrection. And this is made explicit at the beginning of chapter 2, just before the section that we read, when it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Did you catch those weird past tenses? You were dead, but you've been made alive together with Christ, you have been raised. Past tense. You are dead, but you've been raised. The rest of this letter is the working out of what it means to have the world, to have our lives, invaded, infiltrated, leavened, transformed by resurrection life. To, in the words of Wendell Berry, practice resurrection. To grow into the form of what is already true in fact. And it's interesting that in the very next passage, the passage that we read, the very first thing we hear is a call to remember. And that's something we can all do. Remember. It says this, remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth, remember that you were at that time without Christ. Remember where you come from, where you've been. Learn to tell the story of your family and your people. We are all living incarnations of a history, all of us. Remember Grandpa, who came up from Mexico and sent money home for his family but never made it back. Remember Dad's alcoholism and the silence and shame that created in the family. Remember. Remember great-grandma, who amazingly went to college after her own parents were born slaves in Alabama before the Civil War. Remember. Practicing resurrection engages our memory, cultural memory, family memory, personal history, memories of pain, of disappointment, death, and memories of quiet faith, resilient hope, sacrificial love. And here's where this practicing resurrection stuff really starts to gain momentum, because this deep memory becomes a point of access to Christ. Because also part of our human story before God, part of our memory is the memory of Jesus' life of healing and liberation, of his chosen suffering and death, and the mystery and hope of his resurrection, also part of our memory. Ephesians continues like this, "For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, the hostility between us." In the ancient world, the hostility and division being named here is the division between Jews and Gentiles, but I don't have to think very hard to name hostilities in my own life today. I'm not at peace. I'm very accustomed to feeling at war with myself. Again, the refrain and the promise, he is our peace, having broken down the dividing wall. Practicing resurrection, whatever that means, will mean receiving peace from the one who has come to break down the wall. And as I read all this on that beach, on the Olympic Peninsula looking out toward Whidbey Island and its nuclear submarines and our bucket of poisoned shellfish, it became acutely aware to me that this division is not only within me. It runs through the world we've created. And I'm aware how far we are from this peace that Christ came bringing. And I am tempted. Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm tempted to see all this talk of peace as an impossible ideal. Something that really, at the end of the day, is barely relevant to the world in which we find ourselves. But here's the thing. The thing which to me is a scandal, a source of unending prayers and tears, and something I do not understand. This peace, this reconciliation, is not something we build or construct or engineer, but something we, after journeying deeply into our memory, receive in the open and empty hand of faith. This, an empty hand, is the posture, I believe, of practicing resurrection. Again, Ephesians. So he came, proclaiming peace to you who were far off and you who were near. For through him we all have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens. Not citizens of the Roman Empire, mind you, interesting language. But, he continues, citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. There is no temple here, but it remains as a metaphor. And the dwelling place for God, the temple, is the community of those practicing resurrection. But note, there's nothing in here about what we must do. Practicing resurrection is not like practicing your golf swing. It's about who you are. And who you are, believe it or not, is a people on the receiving end of a love that we did not create and do not control, which is building us into a people who would be friends of one another and companions of God, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. The word here is really keystone, actually. And if we lived in ancient Ephesus, we would know exactly what that means. A keystone is the top of an arch, the stone at the very top that bears all the weight and allows both sides to stand. We always read the scriptures from a place and from a history, our personal histories, those of our family and of our culture. Practicing resurrection unfolds from where we are and who we are. For me, this included sitting on a beach on Thursday, keeping company with nuclear warheads and poison shellfish of Puget Sound, and Mount Baker, and dear friends. What does it mean to practice resurrection in our lives as 21st century North Americans? What does it mean to remember deeply? What does it mean to let your memory include the memory of Christ's own life lived for you, for your enemies, and for the life of the world? What does it mean to receive the gift of that peace that fellowship of grace in which Christ, the keystone, holds all together and makes it all possible. I hope to never quit living into these questions. I hope to never forget that we who were dead have been made alive together with Christ, that we might practice resurrection. Thanks be to God. The response to our prayers of intercession will be song number 179, and we will sing it through once before we begin the intercessions.
For the Church of Christ and all who proclaim the peace of Christ to all, in word and deed, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer we offer unto you. Lord, hear our prayer.
For the leaders of nations to govern with wisdom, compassion, and justice. For countries torn by division, hostility, warfare, or poverty, especially the people of Syria, we pray.
O Lord, hear our prayer we offer up to you. O Lord, hear our prayer.
For land, water, and air threatened by pollution, especially Puget Sound and its many watersheds, we pray.
O Lord, hear our prayer we offer up to you. O Lord, hear our prayer.
For those the injured and recovering from the shooting in Denver on Friday, for those mourning their dead, for the perpetrator of this horrible act, and for people everywhere who are suffering from physical or emotional pain, especially those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. We pray. Holden Village, and all the congregations represented here, For the mine remediation workers and their families and loved ones, we pray.
Oh Lord, hear our prayer, we offer up to you. Oh Lord, hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the witnesses to the risen Christ, our shepherd. Make us one and unite us in this reconciling love, we pray.
Oh Lord, hear our prayer, we offer up to you. Oh Lord, hear our prayer.
Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Children to come forward and get up close where you can see. Gather up here around the table. It's important to have a good view. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from time to time, but deliver us from evil. Holy things for holy people. Come, all is ready.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The God of steadfastness and encouragement, grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The God of all grace, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.